Good morning and welcome. It's definitely winter out. Well, we're into the second week of the new year, and it seems like it's just begun, but I know that it's going to go really quickly, and all of a sudden we're going to be at the end of the year again. But, you know, the Lord has really been dealing with me on this one subject. You recall what I spoke about last week, that this year is to be a year where we will receive and just enjoy experience, I guess is the word I'm looking for, experience in this life, in reality, God's goodness, as we rest, as we learn to rest and become established in the free gift of his righteousness. That's what I spoke on last week. And I also said that number 16 in the Bible is symbolic for God's love. If you read carefully in, I believe it's 1 Corinthians chapter 13, where it talks about love, if you count them, there are 16 attributes given of perfect love, which is only God's love, because there is no one of us that has that type of love. And if you study the scriptures, you will see that 16 is used and is symbolic in many cases for the love of God. And you know, I don't know about you, but the more you think about it, in the times in which we live, the day and in the hour in which we're living in, we have never needed love as we do today. I mean, I was watching the news last night. I was blown away of what's going on. I mean, over in Germany and in, I mean, everybody is fighting and people fighting each other, turning on each other in the same country. What the world needs now is love. You know that song? What the world needs now. Come on, there's Donnie smiling. I'm like, oh no. You know, it's an old song, but it's very true. Love, sweet love. But you know what? Even as much as the world needs it, the church needs it more. You need it more than the world does. And the reason for that being is that the world cannot know it unless you know it. Because it's going to be through you that the world will come to know this love of God. It's going to be through you. God isn't going to just all of a sudden drop down his love and shout from the heaven and say, hey, you, I love you. No, he uses you. And so more than them all, you need to know and experience the love that God has for us all, because that's what the world needs today in this hour. The truth is, it can't know it unless you and I know it first. And this morning, I want to share with you the way the Lord shared with me things concerning this love, how to grow in our experience of it. For we all know and have heard, anybody that sits in a church knows and has heard, God loves you. God's love for you is unconditional. But honestly, what does that mean? How do we interpret that? How do we receive that? How do we experience it in our lives? A lot of people don't know. They know God loves me. Yeah, God loves everybody. It becomes like a religious cliche. Has absolutely no meaning. Carries no weight in your life. So the way the Lord has been showing me, I want to break this down a little bit so that I can help us all to walk in a greater experience of that love and to understand what it really is. Is it a feeling that overwhelms you and an emotion? What is it? You know, what is the love of God? And you and I have heard so many sermons on the love of God. Come on. I don't know about you, but I've heard so many sermons on God's unconditional love, and not only heard sermons about his unconditional love, but also how important it is for you, Megan, to believe that love, to understand it, to take that love and to believe that God loves you personally. We've heard that over and over again, not to make it a general love. Yes, God loves everybody. And then lump yourself into the how many billion people that are on the earth. You know, it becomes so impersonal. It's like you just have a wee little bit because God's got to spread it all out. And you know, but you know, I'm coming to realize that God loves each and every one of us wholly. He doesn't have a little bit for Megan and a little tiny bit for Tori. He loves everybody. No, 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 no. He loves you completely. In other words, he loves you with all of his being. Each and every one of us. He's the only one that has the ability to do that. And so it isn't just a general thing. We've learned how important it is for us to receive it. I'm not going to deny that. But to the intent that, number one, we know that it's important to understand and to receive this love, that we might be filled with all the fullness of God. That's what Ephesians chapter 3 teaches us. By us knowing the length, the depth, the height, the breadth of this love. Number two, to the intent that you and I can be delivered from all fears. The Bible tells us that perfect love casts out all fear, for fear has torment. And the Bible also says, for he who fears is not made perfect in love. 1 John chapter 4, verse 18 says, that's what 1 John chapter 4, verse 18 says, for perfect love casts out all fear, for he who fears is not made perfect in love. I don't know about you, but there's a lot of reasons today to fear. And we need to be perfected in this love. We need to know this love, experience and understand what it is, and know how to walk in it and live in it and dwell in it so that fear can have no place in our lives. I don't know about you, but I don't like to be afraid. I don't like to fear what's going to happen tomorrow in my life or the lives of my kids. I want to be free. And the Bible tells us that this perfect love casts out all fear. He who fears, if you have fear in your life in any area, you can know that the love of God has not been perfected in that area. You don't understand God's love in that area. Whether it's with your finances, many people are afraid the future. You know, they're losing their jobs. Many people are afraid that, you know, they're not going to make it. The price of things is going up, up, up. And, you know, your wages aren't going up that much. You know, there's all these fears. And who's going to deliver us out of this problem? You know, it might be a fear of sickness and disease. I mean, look around you. There is more disease today and people are getting sick and dying and the doctors, it's like they just get headway in one area and something else crops up, or the virus changes or mutates or becomes different. And so all these things cause fear in our lives. You know, fear, fear, fear. And the Bible says that when you have these fears, you're not made perfect in love. In other words, you do not understand God's love. You do not possess the love of God in that area. And it's only love that can cast out all fear from your life. Only love. So I'm getting a picture of how important this love is. Number three, the Bible tells us that our faith worketh by love. Not by our love, but his love. I don't know about you, but we are in this world and we want to enjoy the abundant life, the kingdom of God. We want to enjoy heaven on earth. We will never do that except by faith. And your faith worketh by this love. And so there's another reason why it's important for us to understand and experience this love. Galatians 5:6 tells us that. And finally, the fourth one, and there's more than just four. I'm just giving you four reasons why it is so important for you and I to experience this love. Number four, that you and I can love our brothers. Why is that important? It's important that you and I can love our brethren with a true love, a genuine love, not a forced love, not like, oh God, I got to love my brothers. Okay, let's put on the happy face and let's try to pretend that we love everybody, just love everybody. But how many of us know that you can always tell when someone isn't genuine. You know, someone's just, it's too sweet. It's like, you kind of back away. I'm very bad for that. When I see people who are too sweet, I turn around like, it's like, no, that's put on. We don't want to have to put on the sweetness. We want to be sweet. We want to be kind. We want to be caring. And so these are just four of the things that understanding God's love will do in your life, knowing his love, experiencing it. The Bible tells us in 1 John chapter 4, verse 7, that if God so loved you, you ought to love your brother. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loves is born of God and knows God. We need to, you know, we look at ourselves, and I'm not going to get into exactly and explain this scripture, but let's just say this. If you see in your own life that you're not loving your brother the way you should, the Bible says if you can't love the one you do see, how can you love the one you don't see? You know, if you're not, and you know it, I mean, let's face it, the heart knows what the heart knows. The rest of the world may not know it, but the heart knows. And if you see that your heart is not in it, and you're, then you need to know, not that you need to try harder and, you know, pull up your bootstraps and say, okay, that's it. Tomorrow, I'm just going to love everybody. Yeah, I've tried that. Just know this. You just don't have yet the love of God. Because it's only with that love that you're going to love everybody. Herein is love, verse 10 of 1 John chapter 4, verse 10. Herein is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us. Now, these are only four of the reasons why the love of God is so important. In fact, living this life, living heaven on earth, or a life of abundance and joy, is dependent upon you and I knowing and experiencing this love. It is dependent on it. You cannot have and enjoy the abundant life without understanding and experiencing the love of God, and I'll show you why. Having said all of this, I want us to take a look practically. How do you and I grow in this love to a place where you experience it? How many of us in this room want to experience more of the love of God? I mean, it sounds cliche, but I know if you've ever experienced it, even in a small bit, you'll never be satisfied. You need to get it. You need to get more and more and more and more. Okay, that's how good God's love is, the experience of it. But let's break it down and let's make it practical so that you and I aren't sitting around waiting for this love that the pastor keeps telling us about, and we're not really sure what it is, or if you've ever experienced it, or you know, someone, you know, you might start thinking about your feelings and your emotions. God's love is not a feeling, it's not an emotion. It touches your feelings and your emotions, but that's not what it is. So we need to break it down and to give it to you in bite-sized pieces so that you can take it home and you can understand how you can grow in that experience in you yourself. And it's not difficult. It's not hard at all. So how do you experience the reality of God's love in your life? For it's very obvious from what I just read that all of us needs to have more of it and experience more of God's love. But you know, like anything else in the scriptures, we turn something that God has given us, something beautiful, and we make a doctrine out of it, or turn it into a law. Just like we did with faith. We turn it into a law. What is a law? Tell me what I mean when I say we turn something that God has given us into a law. Something that God has given us freely as a gift, and we make a law out of it. It means that we make it, or we turn it into a work of the flesh. God loves you if. Faith, we have turned it into a work of the flesh. We think that by just simply confessing and doing all the things, going through the motions, that's not faith necessarily. It's part of it. But we've made faith a work of the flesh, and then we make God's love, receiving his love and walking in his love, also a work of the flesh. Just like we've done with so many other things. In other words, do this, practice that, and then you'll experience the love of God. That's what a work of the flesh is. You go home, Tori, and you do this and that and that and that, and then you'll see the love of God. Example, confess it all day long. You know, like, he loves me, he loves me not, he loves me. Have you ever done that with a flower? And then whatever petal is left is supposed to be whether he loves you or not. Don't do that with God's love. Okay, God loves me, my Father loves me, my Father loves me, my Father loves me. And you confess that all day long. What does that mean to you? My Father loves me. I actually knew someone who did that. For weeks, all day long. My Heavenly Father loves me. My Heavenly Father loves me. And I'm thinking, I wonder how that's working out for her. Is she experiencing? Now, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with doing that. But don't let's take that and say, okay, that's what we need to do. Go home and confess it all day long until you experience it. That's a work of the flesh. You're experiencing it because you confessed it. You just pushed in there and you persevered. That's what making the love of God a work of the flesh is all about. You know, confessing it all day long. Or another way of saying it is, I believe the love that God has for me. I believe the love that God has for me. And you're continually confessing that, wanting to experience the love. And I know that we have what we say. I'm not belittling confession. But we confess it because we already have it. We're not trying to get it through our confession. You know what I'm saying? When we do that, we're trying to obtain with our works, with our words, with our confession. So we got to remember, first thing, love is not a work of your flesh. God's love is not a work of the flesh. It is a what? What is the love? It is the fruit of the Spirit. Okay? A work of the flesh is way different than a fruit. A work is something you do. Fruit is effortless. It comes through us what? Abiding. Jesus said, I am the vine. You are the branches. Who produces the fruit? The vine? No, the branches. How do the branches produce fruit? We don't know. They just get stuck into the vine, and eventually, with enough rain and so on, fruit starts to grow. And it's the same in your life. Love is a fruit that grows as you abide in the vine. And the amazing, true love, unconditional love of God comes only from Jesus, through abiding in Jesus. We talked about abiding last week. You need to understand that you're not going to just wake up one day and the love of God is like, or there's this teaching out there that it has to be a revelation. Well, yes and no. If we're sitting around waiting for God, you know, I don't know your love. I don't feel your love. So I guess, how can you expect me to walk in it? And then lay it all back on him because he hasn't revealed it to you. Don't wait for the day where you're going to have a great revelation. Just all of a sudden, it's just going to hit you. And bingo, the lights are going to go on and this great revelation of God's love. You're going to be sitting around for a long time waiting for that day. Because God's love is really just a revelation of Jesus. That's all it is. God's love is a revelation of Jesus. John 3:16, God so loved, he sent Jesus. He sent his son Jesus. John 4:9 says this. In this was manifested God's love. Now the word manifested is the word to bring it out, to make it known, to make it seen in the natural. In this was manifested God's love, or made known. Because God sent his only son, his only begotten son, into the world that we might live through him. That is the love of God, simple, manifested, shown forth, demonstrated, is another word. Romans 5:8 says, God commendeth. The word commendeth, it means to show forth, means to demonstrate. God commendeth. He demonstrated his love toward us in this. While you were yet a sinner, Christ came, Christ died for you. God demonstrated his love. The demonstration of God's love is Jesus. 1 John chapter 4, verse 10. Herein is love. We're going to go back there. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us. How? By sending his son to be the offering for our sins. How did God love us? By sending Jesus to be the offering for our sin. So Jesus is the demonstration. Jesus is the reality of the love of God. The love God has for you. And it's personal because Jesus personally died for you. For your situation, your sin. He personally took on your sin nature. It's personal. So therefore, how do you and I grow in our experience of God's love? Well, we grow in our understanding of all that Jesus did at the cross. That was the love of God demonstrated to us. Aren't you glad God just didn't pat us on the back or send forth the words and says, I love you. Words are cheap. How many of us know that sometimes, and especially with people you love, actions speak way louder than words? I mean, your husband can tell you he loves you all day long, but if he never gets off the chest field or ever does a thing for you in any way, is that love? God didn't just say, I love you. God sent his son. God showed us how much he loved us. So it's seen in understanding God so loved you, he sent Jesus. You want to see how much God loves you? Look at Jesus. Okay? Understand what Jesus did at that cross. So how do you experience his love in the flesh or in this life? How do we bring it into our everyday lives where we will know and understand and know his love, experience his love? We believe that Jesus took our place in death, and in this life you receive his life. In now you receive his life. Example, we believe that Jesus took stripes on his back for our healing, or the stripes represented the pain and the punishment and the sickness and the disease that our sins deserved. He endured that pain, and he endured all sickness and all disease in his body that our sins deserved. And by the stripes that he took on our behalf, we, the Bible says, are healed. Now, our faith in what Jesus has done, in that, we receive our healing. We see that it belongs to us because Jesus took it. Now, when we experience that healing in our bodies, what are we experiencing? The love of God. That is the experience of God's love. You see, God's love sent Jesus. It was God's love that caused Jesus to do all that he did. And when we experience the benefits of all that he did, whether it's healing in our bodies or salvation of our hearts or whatever, we are experiencing the demonstration of the love of God. So when you talk about receiving the love, you cannot receive God's love without receiving what Jesus did for you at the cross. That is the love of God. It's not just a feeling. It's flesh. It's reality. It comes into your life and it changes your body. It changes your life. This is eternal life, to know God, to experience experience God. You cannot, and the Bible tells us in the book of John, 1 John, again, if you know God, you know love. You can't know God without knowing love. You can't know love without knowing God, because God is love. And so you need to understand, we need to see it differently. If we want to walk in and rest in this love and live in this love, we must live in the reality of the cross, because that was the demonstration. That was where God proved and showed us his love. And to receive his love, it has to come by Jesus. God wanted to just reach down and fix your life, fix you, heal you, make you wonderful, a whole wonderful life. He could not. He needed a mediator. He needed somebody to go through to get that love to us. And Jesus was the one he chose to go through. Now, we can't just reach beyond or around Jesus and get that love of God and experience it. No, it's got to be through Jesus, and it's got to be through the cross. That is the love. And we need to understand that you and I are in control of how much of his love you're going to receive. God doesn't love you more than he loves me. He loves us all. Period. But it's how you receive his love. And how you receive his love is how you see the cross. It's how you receive the benefits of the cross. So to grow in bigness and love, you need to grow in your understanding of the cross and all that Jesus did for you. And, you know, believe the love. People say, oh, just believe the love. How do you believe the love? You believe what Jesus did. You believe that by his stripes you are healed. You believe that he took all your sorrow, all your grief, and that he became impoverished that you might become abundantly enriched. 1 Corinthians chapter 8. Believe. That's believing the love. We got to make it practical. Because if we just say love, we don't know what to think of when we think of the love of God. We think of a feeling, of a sense of protect. I don't know. Everybody's got their ideas of what love is. But God's love is practical. And God knows we need it to be simple and practical. And available to all, right? So God has displayed his love at the cross for the whole world to see. He's displayed it. It is there that he hung in your place. And if you and I want to experience that love in our lives on the earth, we must continually look at that cross. And we must see, and this is where I think I'm going to go next. I guess not next week, but in a couple of weeks. We must see, indeed, that his death was your death. In other words, and this sounds silly, but I was thinking about it, and I thought, we died to death. You are dead to death. Think about that. And yet we live in this world where death is ruling. And you need to know you're dead from that. You are dead to death and alive to God, to life. You have that right to stand up and say, no, 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 no. I'm dead to that. Why? Because you already died. You experience the death that the world is experiencing all around us. And we've heard these truths, and they're so far out there that, you know, they're just kind of like nice little things we love to look at every once in a while. It's like a jewel that you don't wear all the time. But it's like we take it out once in a while, and we examine it. It was like, wow, we're dead to death. Yeah. But then we turn around, and we become very much alive to death. We need to see that when Jesus died, we indeed died with him. Jesus died to death. He is never going to go near death again. One time he did, and we died in him. So you need to see yourself on that cross, or in Christ when he hung on that cross. There's a process. And the more you gaze at that cross and contemplate all that Jesus did, the more understanding you are going to have, the more you're going to believe what God has done for you, the more you are going to be able to experience that love in this life, right? Now, whether you ever experience the love of God this side of heaven, God still loves you just as much, but it's up to you to experience it. God wants his kingdom on the earth. My kingdom come, my will be done. His kingdom is the kingdom of love, his love. So we need to see that Jesus' death was indeed your death. And now his life is indeed your life. You need to see that. And every time you and I experience life through the cross, whether it's a healing, prosperity, or it's helped you to receive something in your life, know this, you are experiencing the love of God. God loves you, has healed you, has blessed you through his Son. So my point is this morning. God's love was demonstrated to us through and by the cross. It was there that he suffered and he died our death. And it was there that he set us free from every curse of death that we deserve because of our sin. And the more that you and I look at this demonstration of unconditional love, the more real it's going to become to you, the more you will believe it, and the more you will be able to receive it. Faith worketh by love. Gazing at that love is going to change you. It's going to transform you. It's going to take away all. You won't be afraid of anything. You're going to know God is going to deliver me. It's not that there isn't fear out there. It's not that there isn't bad things out there that might come against you. But you're not afraid. Why? Because God's love. Because of the love. You know he's never going to let you down. You know he's going to keep you safe and protect you. You know he's going to keep you well, healthy. No plague is going to come nigh your dwelling. No evil is going to befall you. Why? Because you know the love. Faith worketh by love. And that's why the Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1, "Brethren, when I came to you, I came not with the excellency of speech or of the wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God." In other words, I didn't come with the wisdom of a man or the excellent, I'm just an excellent speaker. No, he said, When I came, I was determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. So what is he saying? Here Paul is really saying, I've determined that I know nothing among you except God's love demonstrated. Do you know that every time you share the gospel with someone, you're sharing God's love? Think of it that way. You know, when we talk about sharing the love of God, we're not talking about, oh, Diane, God loves you. What does that mean? But when we share the cross, what Jesus did, you may never ever use the words, God loves you. She's going to see the love of God. You see what I mean? It's not so much by us saying, oh, God loves you. It's sharing Jesus. It's opening up the cross that causes us to see, to understand the love. And then love begins to grow. And you see its fruit. It's effortless. You didn't try to receive. You didn't confess it. No, you saw it in the cross and it began to grow. And before you knew it, that love was getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And the more we gaze, the more we are being fulfilled and it is transforming us into his image. But remember this, it's the cross that is the demonstration of God's love. And what is the cross? The gospel. I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation. I don't think there's anything in this life that is more powerful than God's love. Paul said, I didn't come preaching or speaking unto you with words of man's wisdom and eloquence, but in the demonstration which was the cross of God's spirit and of power. God's way is love. He defeated Satan by his love for us. So Christ, Jesus and him crucified is the demonstration of God's Spirit and God's power. It is the gospel message. The cross is the power of God unto salvation. So if the gospel is the power and the gospel is Jesus Christ crucified, then Christ crucified is the demonstration of God's love. So it is the love of God that is the power of God unto salvation. Always think of the power. What is the power of God? Therein is the power of God unto salvation. The gospel is. So the gospel is the love of God. It is the demonstration of Jesus Christ, Christ in him crucified. That is the demonstration of God's love. In it, that is the power of God unto salvation. So you can put it this way. The love of God is the power of God unto salvation. It's not the fear. We don't put the fear of God, but the love is the power that changes us, brings people to him. And the true gospel is so very, very simple. But I know there's nothing this side of heaven that's as powerful and as profound as the simpleness of the gospel. And when, like I said earlier, when you and I share it, we are sharing the love with our families, with our friends, with others. We're sharing the love of God. And to walk in the love of God, how do you and I practically walk in the love of God? We walk in the realities of the cross. And to just say God loves you means very little apart from that demonstration. So many of us are sitting, and I know that, we're waiting to be overcome or overwhelmed by the love of God. It's like, oh, I'm going to, we get it in, it's like anything else. We get a desire, I want this, and I'm not going to stop till I get it. And so we do all kinds of fleshly things, trying to expand our experience. Oh, I want to be in the Spirit. I want to sense that love. I want to be in that environment. I mean, yeah, it's great, and I'm not knocking that, but it doesn't happen the way you think it happens. Let's not wait around for God's love to overwhelm us. You know, like I said earlier, we don't even know what to expect. We think of an emotion or a feeling or a sense. And if we get that sense or emotion or feeling, how many times have we, you know, in the past said, oh, I just sense the love of God. Well, yeah, you do sense the love of God. I understand that. But that's not, don't make that sound like that's what the love of God really is. The love of God evokes emotions and feelings in you. Just like if somebody in the natural does something sweet for you or does something nice for you because of love, it evokes emotion. It evokes a response, but that response isn't love. It's not that feeling that it gives you that is love. No, it's love. Love is an act. It's an action word. It's very, it's a word full of action. And it's the act that invokes emotion, evokes the feelings. And you know, we make it so backwards. We're waiting for the love of God to overwhelm us. And then we will believe it. Oh, I finally received the love. I felt it today. No, we're backwards. You believe the love because of the cross, and then you'll feel it. And you'll feel it in such an amazing way. It'll overwhelm you. Because now you've set God free. Because you've come to the cross and God's love shines right through the cross to you. But don't wait there and wait for it to hit you and change your life. Look to the cross and you will see the light. And all of a sudden that light will start to beam down to you. And that love will begin to overwhelm you and just fill your whole heart. And you will truly become full of the fullness of God. And you know, the Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter 3 that we ought to be rooted deeply, grounded deeply in his love for us. That we might know the length, the breadth, the height, and the depth. That we might be filled with all of the fullness of God. I mean, we can look at those scriptures and they're so far away, but they don't have to be. They don't have to be. And honestly, if I'm sharing from my heart today, I need to say this. There is a depth. There is a depth to the love of God that is so deep. And just like in the natural, many times when something is really intense, it causes fear. And you know, a lot of people are afraid to jump into that depth and to just let it all go. Because God, let's face it, God wants to love you more than you want to be loved. It frightens us sometimes. God's love is irrational. It's radical. It is something that you and I have never experienced in this life. It is so deep, it is so beyond anything we, even the Bible says, beyond your understanding. But sometimes things we don't understand, we're afraid of. Have you ever been in this life? This is kind of just trying to get you to understand where I'm going. Have you ever been someone is crazy about you or is kind of infatuated with you to a point where it's almost, it's scary. Do you understand what I'm saying? So we take that feeling and that emotion and we put it to God. You never have to be afraid of the love of God. Never. You and I were created for that love. We just don't know it. We've been away from it for so long that that scares us because it's not rational. It doesn't make sense. How many times have I said, God, why do you love me? Why? You know, there's nothing lovable about me. And I'm sure most of us at times have said the same thing to ourselves. Like, well, why? We need to have a reason. And so I believe there is a depth to the love of God that we haven't even begun to touch. And God wants to take us into that depth. It is so powerful. Even human love can overcome anything in its path. I mean, just, we're not talking about God's love now. Human love is powerful. It is such a powerful force. And this love, that true love, cannot be bought and it cannot be earned. It's like the love you have for your children. They can't earn your love. You just love. And you may not understand why, but you just do. And that love is strong. You're not going to not love after he doesn't sleep for one night, right, Megan? He could not sleep all of his nights and love would still be there. And so it's the only way we can kind of fathom a little bit of how God's love is for us. So you can't buy this love, nor can you earn it. And if you are in this life and you can earn someone's love or you can buy someone's love, then know this, it's not real love. Because real love can never be bought and it can never be earned. And if in this life, real love can't be bought or earned, how much more God's love cannot be bought nor can it be earned? And how much you receive, I've said this before, I'm going to say it again, is all up to you. How much you experience is going to be up to you. Each and every one of us. We need to ask ourselves, how much of the cross, how much of the demonstration of the cross do I really believe? Because every time I believe, whether it's if I can believe God for healing or finances or this or that, every time we are receiving another aspect of the love of God. How much can you believe? God's love doesn't come just because you confess it. God loves me, God loves me, God loves me. You need to gaze at the cross. Never take your eyes off. The Apostle Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel. Are you ashamed? You know, sometimes we think, oh, geez, the gospel. This sounds really silly, especially when you share it to others. You get to the point where you think, God, this sounds so wussy, so, you know, God loves you. Or did you know that God loves you and died for your sins? Like sometimes when it comes out of our mouths, But you know what the Lord showed me this week was that God is not ashamed of you. It says in Hebrews, I wrote it down, Hebrews chapter 11, I believe 16. It says, God is not ashamed to be called our God. Then in Hebrews 2:11, it says, for he who sanctifies and we who are sanctified, which is Jesus and his church, are all of one. For which cause he, Jesus, is not ashamed to call you brethren. He is not ashamed of you. Do you understand? He is proud of you. You know, sometimes we have kids and they do things, especially as they grow up, we're ashamed. And they embarrass us. Come on, let's face it. There's times our kids embarrass us. God is never ashamed of you. Think of it that way. Never. You don't embarrass him. He's proud. He is not ashamed to call you and admit that he's your brother. There's times we're tempted not to admit that that kid is my boy. Come on. God is never, Jesus is never ashamed to call you his sister, his brother. And we need never be ashamed of the gospel. For it is the power. It is the demonstration of God's love. And to share love with our neighbors, we need to share the gospel where they see God's love for themselves. In closing, there's a scripture in Romans chapter 8, and I just want to quote it and remind us of this scripture because it helps us to see that God's love is indeed greater than we first had believed. And it's, you know, the Bible tells us to know its depths, its height. You know what I believe? Jesus went to the depths, the Bible says, of the earth to bring us back up. And then he took us to the heights of where he sits, the height. He is the highest of all, sitting in the highest place, the right hand of the Father. He took you there. That's God's love, who went down into the depths of hell to deliver you. And then he took you right to the heights where you don't deserve to be. And then he cast your sin into the sea of forgetfulness. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed your sin. Well, how far is the east from the west? It will never meet. Never. Impossible. That is the love of God. It's the cross, the demonstration. And the more you gaze at it and the more you see it, the more you realize that there is so much more to God's love than you even know. But let's begin today to say, you know what? I am going to experience God's love every day by experiencing the reality and the benefits that I am freely given through the cross. Romans chapter 8. It says here, for if God did not spare his only son, the son of his love, there was no one else that could demonstrate how much God loved us except God himself. So if he didn't spare his son, will he not freely give you every other good thing? Think about that. If he didn't hold back, if while you were yet a sinner, he gave up the most precious thing, you think he's going to hold back anything from you? Anything? Because if he does, then that means that the value of the thing you're asking for is greater than what he gave up for you. Do you understand? He is not going to hold back anything. That scripture brings comfort to me many times. If you're willing to give up your son, that was the demonstration of your love. How can I doubt that you have given me every good thing? Every good thing. Because in comparison to the value of Jesus, anything we ask for pales in comparison. And the Bible encourages us through the Holy Spirit that God is not going to withhold anything good from you. He who is willing to give up his son. And every time we look to that cross, we are seeing the love of God again. Every day. Keep your eyes on the demonstration of the love of God, and you will begin to experience what your eyes, it'll grow bigger and bigger, because what you focus on gets bigger and bigger and bigger in your life. And the love of God will begin to become bigger and bigger and bigger as you abide. Just simply abide. And I mean, don't try to make it a work of your flesh. Just abide in the cross, in Christ, and you will see 2016 filled with more experiences of God's love than you ever thought possible. Amen? That's where I want to go. I want to take you all with me. Thank you, Jesus.